Today is going to be a short service today in honor of our moms today. First of all, let's just clap moms and give honor to moms. Amen. You know, there's just so much. I wanted to keep this day kind of fun and kind of light just because. Oh, let me turn this off. There we go. How many have ever gone looking for a job? Anybody? Right, all of us have done that. So what if this was in the description of a job that you went to go look for? Starting off, if you read a job description like this, this job entails long-term team player that's needed for challenging permanent work in an often chaotic environment. Candidates must possess excellent communication and organizational skills and be willing to work variable hours, which will include evenings and weekends and frequent 24-hour shifts on call. Some overnight travel is required, including trips to primitive camping sites or rainy weekends and endless sports tournaments in faraway cities. Travel expenses are not reimbursed, and extensive courier duties are also required. The responsibilities must screen phone calls, maintain calendars, and coordinate production of multiple work projects. Must have the ability to plan and organize social gatherings for all ages. Must be willing to be an indispensable for 1 minute and an embarrassment the next. Must handle assembly and product safety testing of a 500,000 cheap plastic items and battery-operated devices. Must always hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. Must assume accountability for the quality and of the end product. Responsibilities also include floor maintenance and janitorial work throughout the facility. The rest of your life must be willing to be hated, and at least temporarily, until someone needs you. Must possess the physical stamina of a pack mule and be able to go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. Must be willing to face technical challenges such as small gadget repair, mysteriously sluggish toilets, and stuck apparatus and toys. The possibility for advancement and promotion? Well, there's none. Your job is to remain in the same role for years, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those within your charge can hopefully someday surpass you. Previous experience. Well, surprisingly, there is none. On-the-job training is offered on a continual basis. However, prior knowledge of nutritionist, hairstylist, chef, entertainer, wife, a big plus, personal trainer, disaster relief worker, counselor, chauffeur, project manager, and nurse experience are helpful. Wages and compensation. Well, heard of the reverse mortgages? Well, this job is under the reverse salary pay scale. There is no formal monetary compensation. In fact, you pay those within your charge, offering frequent raises and bonuses. When you die, you offer whatever is left, and we have found that many in doing the reverse salary is that you actually enjoy it and wish you could only do more. The benefits of this job. Well, there are no health or dental insurance, no pension, no tuition, no reimbursement, no paid holidays, no stock options, no sick leave is offered. However, this job supplies limitless opportunities for personal growth and an occasional free hug for life. If that was the job description that moms got to see before they became moms, they probably still would step into it. You know, because that is a tall, tall, tall order to fill in any job. And sometimes we forget how important moms are. So in fact, we have to chase after children, and you have to do all these kind of things that sometimes we men forget. I saw this story. This little a woman was talking. She was sharing her story on, once in a while I'm flipping the channels and I'll get to one of the, they have one of them women channels, and I like to listen to what they talk about because it's important. I need to know this. So there was a woman, she was talking, she was telling a story, and she said her six-year-old boy, the story was there was a six-year-old boy that was separated in the grocery store, and he'd been to call out, Gene! And then as he was getting louder with each one, he's yelling and yelling and yelling. And finally, the mother comes over to him and she says, honey, you should not be calling me out and calling Gene like that. I am mommy to you. And the little boy said, yes, but there are also lots of other mommies in here, too. That's pretty smart, I thought. He's like, she'll know that once. She'll come to her name, but she may not come to mom. So I thought that was pretty cute. And when we talk about Mother's Day, I can only talk about, I have a wife who is a mother and who is a wonderful mother. But I have a mother. Yes, amen, amen. Yes, yes. But I have lots of memories of my mother, who is still with me, so I'm fortunate. Because I want to talk about some things that my mother taught me. Hopefully one day you will all get the chance to meet my mother, and you will understand just how nuts she is. And I love my mother. My mother taught me things like responsibility. She taught me how to cook, how to clean, how to sew, how to do laundry. She taught me these things, not because she thought it was really going to be valuable for me personally. She did it because she said, look, you are too difficult to live with. I need you all to be self-sufficient. So I'm teaching you things because you ain't coming back home. My mother taught us to appreciate a job well done. In fact, she would say, look, I'm going to go, and if y'all don't stop killing each other, you need to take that mess outside because I just finished cleaning in here. My mother taught us about religion. In fact, she said all the time, Lord Jesus, help me to keep from killing my children. Woo! Or she would say stuff like, you better pray that comes out my carpet. My mother taught us about time travel. She would say, keep it up. Roll those eyes at me one more time and I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Well, I'm going to knock those eyes upside your head. She did not play. She did not play. My mother was the disciplinarian of the house. My father was soft, tender. My mother, she didn't care. She had no problems making sure that when you crossed the line, you got something. In fact, my mom, she had a backhand that could make any tennis pro jealous. And could get, if she even, you even looked like, just looked like you was about to say something cross. Whoosh, that quick. And then all of a sudden, your lips would swell all up and you'd be all sad. And then she wanted to be like, come here, baby. And I was like, let me see you. Come here, baby, let me see. And I'm like, I used to think of myself, what does she need to see? The glory of what she just did? The product of her work? I was like, she knew what she just did. So now she wants to be loving on me. And I'm thinking, come on now. Mom, please. My mother, she had no problems making sure that you understood. Here's the line. Here's the line. When you cross that line, guess what's going to happen? In fact, she tried to teach us not even to get close to the line. But, you know, we were kind of thick-headed. So yeah, boys. I'm always saying, boys, we're thick. We are thick-headed. Yeah, we are. And we would get on not only to the line, we would try to test it and touch the line. You know, that's so she was really huge in making sure that we understood who boss was. She also would tell me, you will never get too big for me to knock you out if I have to. She said, if I got to get up on a chair with a broomstick, you will not cross that line and disrespect me or disrespect others. And I thought, you know what? She's probably serious. And I didn't want to test it. But you know what? That is a mother's love. That is a mother's love. She was willing to assume all full responsibility to do whatever it took to make sure that we would grow up and act right and be successful in life. She was willing to do whatever. My mother just recently came, and I mean just recently, came to the resolution. She called me on the phone. It's about a week ago. She called me on the phone, apologized to me. She said, you know, I was thinking the last time that I was there and visited, I kept trying to tell you what to do and how to do stuff, and it just dawned on me, you're grown. Yo, I'm almost 50. And she's just now realized. She said, you know, so I need to tell you that I'm sorry because, you know, you're grown, and I shouldn't be trying to tell you what to do because, you know, you're grown. And that's when I told her, I said, you know what, Mom? I said, it is your right as a parent until the day that I die to speak into my life if you see something. So you go ahead and do that. But that just kind of warmed my heart, you know. I even love my mother-in-law. Yes, I do. I love my mother-in-law. In fact, I can remember times before we moved here, I would go visit her and just sit with her. My mother-in-law is surviving MS. She is surviving MS. She is being healed, y'all. Amen. Yeah. So and so I used to go and sit with her, and we would laugh, shake our heads, and just talk about stuff. And I enjoyed that time that we would spend, you know, because I try to go there like once a week and just sit and talk with her. And we even became closer, and our relationship grew. And I miss that, and I hope one day that we have an opportunity to do that again. Because, you know, a lot of folks who are married can't say that they like their in-laws. There's a whole lot of folks, and I, you know, Cindy and I are blessed because we like our in-laws. It's like that's huge. Now, and I know last Mother's Day, I preached on the Proverbs 31 woman, and I thought, well, I'm not going to do that again this year because I know y'all don't want to hear that. Because when I hear women are like, we that's so hard for us to hear. And I was like, you know, and my wife said, so I asked her, I said, well, what? I said, right, you're right, it did. And so my wife and I were talking, and she gave me some insight on maybe what I should talk about today. So I kind of took some of that, and God helped me put this thing together. And I want to talk about some mothers who had some spiritually supernatural attachments to them. And I want to talk about five biblical examples of godly mothers, and then I want to focus on one of those mothers specifically. But the first mother I want to talk about is Eve. And Eve literally means mother of all. And I think she definitely had a supernatural spiritual attachment, huh? Sarah, the elderly mother who laughed at the notion of having children and then gave birth to Isaac. And Naomi, faithful mother-in-law to Ruth, her faithfulness to her family would produce the lineage of David. And then Hannah, mother who prayed for God to give her a child, and then she gave birth to Samuel. And then Mary, the mother of Jesus. Five women with supernatural attachments to them in motherhood. So where would we be without mothers? or wives for that matter. We would be lost without them. Without mom, we would not exist. Moms play a crucial role in the fabric of our life. And if you think about it, these five moms, the mothers of our history, have shaped the future in our direction. And also, we discussed last week, the role of mom is critical for the proper development of spiritually healthy children. So then I went and said, you know what, let's go back and just do a little history. So I wanted to do a little research at the origin of mothers and Mother's Day. And what I found was this here. One woman's dream. Just after the Civil War, one woman had a dream to reunite the nation. It would be a day to remember mothers who lost their sons in war. Anna Reeves Jarvis wanted to create a memorial day for mothers. One of Jarvis's youngest children saw her mother's effort to reunite a war-torn nation. The dream was passed on. When her mother died, Anna was determined to see her mother's dream come true. Anna then established the very first Mother's Day in honor of her mother. That was in 1907 in Grafton, West Virginia. By 1910, just 3 years, the day was celebrated in 45 states, Puerto Rico, Hawaii, Canada, and Mexico. On May 8, 1914, Woodrow Wilson designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Like Christ, a good mother is more concerned about the well-being of her children. So what characteristics can we look for in a godly mother? Well, out of the five mothers that we talked about, I want to focus on Hannah. Hannah. Being a godly mom. A godly mom will face problems. And Hannah faced problems. Turn to me to 1 Samuel 1 through 8. It says, there was a certain man from Ramathian, a Zophite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jerome, and of Elihu, and the son of Tohu, and the son of Zuph, and Ephraimite. He had two wives. One of them was called Hannah, and the other was called Peninnah. Peninnah had children, and Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And I underline that. Her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And this went on year after year, being provoked and irritated. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and then would not eat. That's being tortured, y'all. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I me mourn to you than 10 sons? This provoking was facing some serious problems that were going on, and she had to figure out how to deal with this. Continuing on reading 9 through 16. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled, and I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. A godly woman is a praying woman. Continuing on reading, Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and then ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then they went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. A godly mom trusts God's provisions. Trust. We talked about trust. She trusts in God. And here's the thing. If you're going to pray and trust, what's the point of praying if you don't trust he's going to do something and deliver? Continuing on, starting in verse 21. When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best, her husband Elkanah told her. Stay here until you have weaned him, and only the Lord may make good on his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, and an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought them to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So I now give him to the Lord. For this, his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. A godly mom keeps her promise, especially when it's to God. Continuing on 1 Samuel 2, 1 and 2. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord, and in the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Amen. Mothers are givers by nature. So throughout life, they have offered their sons and daughters all kinds of blessings. But the most important thing a godly mom can give to her children is the motivation to believe in God and to know him intimately. Boy, that is so powerful. And if we miss that, we miss so much. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 3 says, There are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are the crossing of Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that you may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing of milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. This is loving the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 says just that. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. If it's on your heart, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. That's huge. Some people today still have conflict with their mom. They hold on to it and harbor conflict with their mom. And this conflict in their hearts, they know that it's something they need to get rid of and not have on. It's gone on so long, they don't even know how to love their mom. That's tragic, y'all. It's very tragic. We need to, if that's you, ask God to help you see you through this situation so you're no longer harboring this in your heart within and holding on to that. Because this thing is not only damaging to you both, but it's also going against what God says you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to honor your mother. Where's our worship team? Come on up and you guys get started. So what I want to do is I want to talk about today, give you five ways that you can honor mom today. Just honoring mom. Well, number one, when you call her today or you visit her today, if your mom is still with you and you make that phone call or you go and visit her today, you get to honor her verbally. Tell her that you care for her and express her best qualities that you notice in her and that things that you've always loved about her. Let her know those things and what those are. And if you must resolve something, resolve it, but do it gently and do it in love. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged. How else can we honor and love mom? Well, we can do it patiently. Hey, remember, mom's not perfect. She is not perfect. In fact, if you think about it, she's the one person who merits tolerance and understanding from you. If you really think about it, remember what challenges that you probably put her through. I'm sure y'all probably put your mom through some changes. If you think about it, you know how you used to act. So now, be patient with her. Number three, how can we honor and love mom? Gratefully. Regardless of the way that she raised you, your mom gave you life and likely did the best that she knew how to do at the time that she did it. In fact, if you knew all of the circumstances that influenced her style of parenting, you might be surprised at how well she actually managed you. So, look for ways to express gratitude for what she's done. Number four, another way to honor and love mom. How about forgiving me? See, there really is never a legitimate reason to hold and harbor grudges against anyone. And especially mom. There really is no reason. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Just think about how many times mom and God had to forgive you for something. So forgive mom. And number five. Another way to honor and love mom, do it honorably. Most important is doing it honorably. Do you live your life in such a way that your mom would or is proud of you? See, nothing honors your mom more than seeing you and your children as godly believers completely devoted to Christ. There's no greater honor to mom. That job description of all that hard work that we read and put into, if you want to give mom some honor and some glory, just let her see how you live, serve, and love Christ. While we stand.